Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 81 of the Leading Wild Grain podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, I'm joined by my friend Kirk Nugent. Kirk is the Director of Information Technology at Wallace State Community College. He's a speaker, he's a leader, he's an innovator. And in our conversation today, we talk about how he learned some lessons early on in college that really paved the way and how he's training future IT leaders. We talk about how his passion fuels his professional career and how faith makes all the difference. Tons of insights for leaders at all levels. So listen up. I just want to say the Leading Wild Grain podcast would be nothing, absolutely nothing without you. I don't want to thank you, each and every one of you who have left reviews on Apple Podcasts, who have shared it on social media. You've texted a friend, you've sent an email, you've let someone know about your favorite episode, your favorite guest. Everything that you're doing is helping us grow by leaps and bounds on this podcast. And I want to thank you. Now, if you haven't, there's still space and time for you to hit pause right now and just leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let somebody know, share this on your social media accounts. Let people know. Don't keep all of the good stuff to yourself. I also want to encourage you to hop over to prcquinn.com and check out my free course for leaders, 12 tips to grow as a leader, tons of video content, principles that I've shared with leadership teams across the country. And I'm giving that away for free at prcquinn.com. So I want you to take advantage of that. Okay, my guest today is Kirk Nugent, and Kirk is the Director of Information Technology at Wallace State Community College. Now, Kirk has had an interesting career journey, an interesting career path. And if you check out his LinkedIn profile, LinkedIn/in/Kirk R. Nugent, N-U-G-E-N-T, you can see his storied, colorful and dynamic professional journey. Now, Kirk works in the field of IT. And in our conversation today, we talk about how leadership has made a difference in the IT space. So in addition to his college career and some things that he learned about IT early on in college, we talk about his travels. We talk about his passions. We talk about why it's just a great thing as a professional to be nice and to be approachable and to be relatable, and how those have made a difference as he's grown in his career. We also spend some time talking about faith, Kirk's faith journey, how he integrates faith and his professional life, and what he's doing to stay on the cutting edge of IT, and also what he's doing to debunk some of the myths of being an IT professional, because there are tons of myths out there. I really appreciate this conversation with Kirk, and I want you to appreciate it as well. Here's my conversation with Kirk Nugent. So I'm joined today by a friend of mine, Kirk Nugent. He is the Director of Information Technology at Wallace State Community College in Alabama. Kirk, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, Pierre.
So Kirk, man, let's just dive right in. Give me a time back when elementary school, high school, college, we have the same alma mater. When you realized, where it was clear to you that in terms of leadership, in terms of impacting other people, in terms of being a difference maker, that you recognized that you had that ability?
Definitely back in, I've got five siblings. I'm the middle child. So right smack in the middle, number three, there's a boy and girl above me, a boy and girl behind me. And they call the middle children the peacekeepers. And mm-hmm. Then praise God for the promise that says that they shall inherit the earth. So, I have definitely refereed my fair share of arguments and issues and squabbles in my time. So as a child growing up, I realized that I had that, you know, that innate ability to lead to a given result or to a given or desired destination. Something that I know my dad has, and I see it in several, you know, in my siblings as well. But I know that it's something that I recognized in me, and it was actually scary, especially coming through high school and into college. It was scary realizing the power that you have in terms of influence when you share something with someone, and you shade it a certain way because that's the way you think, and they buy into it wholesale. Hmm. And you're saying, wow, you know, people are making decisions based on the perspective that I've shared, or the stand or viewpoint that I've taken. And it's like, man, I need to be, you know, there's a whole level and area of responsibility that goes along with, you know, recognizing that you have that gift and that talent. I mean, some people call it a burden. And rightfully so, honestly, because it is an awesome responsibility to know that you have the ability to lead. You have, you know, people look to you for direction and guidance. Maybe not necessarily a list of to-dos, but they want to hear your perspective on a given topic because they respect what you bring to the table. Yeah. I don't know if I had an exact experience. I'm trying to think of right now, but yeah, no, not necessarily exact experience, but it's always been something that a reality that has kind of hit home more and more over the years. That is something God has placed in my life, and He's, you know, put it my doorstep to deal with as we walk this road.
Okay, so I want to know how this works in the IT space, because that's the arena in which you live, work, and play. But before we get there, tell the audience how you decided to make information technology your career. Like, were you tinkering around with computers in high school? Like, how what attracted you to this field, and what keeps you there?
So I've always been interested in working with my hands and doing something that has been a little more hands-on and practical. I often tell people if my parents would have allowed me, I probably would have just gone to a trade school or gotten a certification and just done that. But that's not, you know, that was not the order of the day in the Nugent household. You're going to get a degree. And so my parents were like, you're going to go get a degree. And so you need to start thinking about what you want to do. I finished high school in 1997, and I did some programming classes while in high school, some computer classes. Didn't really have, we had a computer at home, but didn't, I don't know if that's when the spark, you know, came on in terms of my interest and love for all things tech. But when I got to Andrews and declared computer engineering technology as my major, Andrew, my older brother, he actually was far more into computers than me. And he's a pastor today, so go figure. But anyway, he kind of gave me that initial window into that world. We had to get an Ethernet card for our computer to work on campus, to plug in the network cable, and had to open up the computer and put that Ethernet card in. And that process, man, just looking inside the computer, looking at all the components, the motherboard, the RAM, the CPU, heat sink, power supply, the hard drive, all that stuff, it really just kind of sparked an interest for me. And it's something that kind of came natural as well. Where anything hands-on where computers were concerned, I really had a natural inclination toward them. So I got an opportunity to not only have some experience there, of course, in classes, but also with working at ITS. And you remember this from college days, man. We, myself yeah. and a couple others who we were known as the IT guys, I mean, the student workers, but we were the IT guys on campus, and we'd constantly be walking around with all kinds of gear. But the team there at Andrews in the IT department, not the faculty side, I need to make sure to differentiate. I'm talking about the team at Andrews that really was tasked with taking care of technology for the campus. They took us in. It was a handful of us. They took us all in, and they taught us everything they knew, man. I mean, they did not treat us like student workers. They treated us like full-time workers. They taught us how to pull cable, how to punch down wire, how to make a patch cable, I mean, test it. They taught us how to troubleshoot, to do upgrades, to have your tools on flash drives and everything. I mean, just the tricks of the trade, they held nothing back. And I I cannot thank those guys enough. I still remember them. I still keep in touch with them. Every now and again, you know how the Adventist circle is small, man. We will be at some place and I'll bump into somebody. And I give honor to those guys because were it not for them, I don't know what skills I would have. And they really helped to hone some of those skills in me. And coming full circle, having worked at Oakland University as CIO there and now at Wallace as director of IT, you know, that those are programs that I have instituted. You know, given what I experienced at Andrews myself and how it shaped my career, I feel I've been able to work at both places to create an army of student workers and really instill that same environment where they don't just feel like the grunt workers. They get the menial tasks. They still do, but they are given opportunity to increase their skill set, expand what they know how to do, and take on some responsibility in areas that, you know, would not necessarily normally be given to a novice or a student worker, if you will. So that's how I kind of came to be in technology. Yeah.
Well, what's the mindset that goes into that from a leadership perspective for instead of treating someone like a quote unquote student worker, grunt work, sort of you're just here to kind of get through college thing versus taking them and saying, I'm treating you like an emerging professional and I'm going to give you everything that you got. What does it take now that you're in that position to do that? What does it take for a leader to be able to do that and do that confidently?
So that's a phenomenal question. It's a great question because I'm experiencing it now and of course have a far greater appreciation for what was done for me when I was in college. But yes, it is a mindset because by and large, I was not looking for a launch pad for my career when I got the job. I was really looking for a cool job on campus. So as the younger person in the scenario, take for instance the students that we're hiring here at Wallace right now, they may or may not know the value of what they will get from the job. And so as the leader, right, as the visionary, as the person who's saying, I'm gonna give this novice, this up and coming professional, the tools that they need. It is a mindset. I mean, there's some structure that you got to put in place. There's some homework. I would imagine extra work that you need to do to make sure that they can actually function and operate within a tech environment. You know, not to get too far in the weeds, but in the tech environment, you got to have admin rights to pretty much to do anything. And that's not something that's normally given to a student worker. And so building out platforms and tools for student workers to still be able to do some pseudo admin tasks without giving them admin rights, you know, that's a whole job in and of itself. And that is an investment that we make here in our student workers because we feel that it's a worthwhile experience for them to have before they go out into the workforce to have worked in their college IT shop as a junior tech, learning the tricks of the trade, the ins and outs, the environment that a tech works in, some of the lingo, some of the, the general flow of what we do on a day-to-day basis and all that means and how that will enhance their ability to get right to work when they eventually land a job. That, yeah, there's a whole component there that requires vision, that requires foresight, that requires a willingness to do the extra work that it will require. But also, you know, the flip side is, I got a chance to speak at a conference a couple of weeks ago, Laserfish Empower, which is in Long Beach, California. And while there, at my session in the conference, one of my former student workers was there, but he was there as an employee for one of the consulting firms for Laserfish, and was just awesome to be able to see him now in his own element as a peer, you know, as if you will, as a technology professional in the field doing his thing. It's like, you know, all that time and effort and energy was well worth it. You see that benefit on the back end. And it's priceless. It's a priceless experience. It's not going to come back necessarily in monetary form. but it definitely comes back as a benefit to you several times over.
Give us, Kirk, give us some of the IT stereotypes that are commonly attributed to people who work in your field, and how you personally and the teams that you've worked with have really worked to kind of bust or demyth some of those stereotypes.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of those. There's the myth of IT can flip a switch and get it done. That IT really doesn't have a whole lot of work we're doing. We're just kind of playing around because all that we work with is toys. I mean, it's not really toys, but you get what I mean. It's gadgets. And so it's like, you guys just have fun all day. You're not really, really working. So that, you know, that's a myth as well, that there's, you know, that this is a stress-free environment. We're just kind of here having fun. There's also the myth that we want to keep the good stuff for ourselves. That's so untrue. There's also the myth that we fully understand all the different aspects of every environment that we work in. And so I'm in higher ed now, but I was in I worked for an NGO before, and then worked for a finance firm before, so kind of Wall Street investing. And then worked for a government organization before that. So you find yourself in these environments where the company's overall purpose and mission is not technology, but you are working in a technology capacity. And so the finance folks just feel like, well, you should know, you know, enough about finance, but it's like that's an assumption that. When you make that assumption, it really kind of puts us in a rough position, and so those are some of them. I mean, there's a lot of myths about technology. I mean, troubleshooting. I often say to folks, if you're at home and you have pick up your remote for the TV and you want to turn it on, and you press the power button, it doesn't turn on. What do you do? And of course, they come back with questions of, oh well, you need to check the power cord for the TV, or maybe even the batteries for the remote. And that is troubleshooting. That is that process of elimination that you go through is troubleshooting. And so one of the things that we often face in IT troubleshooting is, or computer support, I should say, is, you know, our clients, our employee base will oftentimes call in for an issue that they probably could have figured out themselves. It's just, there's a disconnect. If it's technology related, they turn off a certain portion of their brain. It's like, no, I need to call the professional. And that's a whole myth in and of itself as well. We have people who feel like, man, I'm just going to call the IT team. And once they get here, just from their mere presence, things are going to work. Now, I have experienced that happening several times, but that is a myth. It's just, you know, I just feel like when the IT person is there, people will do the steps the way that it's supposed to be done, and then it ends up working. And so what I've done over the course of time in my career is try to be more relatable. A lot of IT folks are computer nerds or geeks, if you will, and they deal far better with a computer than they do with real people. And so that's kind of one of the things that has allowed me to stand out in this field, is because I love people. In fact, my job didn't have me interacting with people. I'd probably quit it and find something else. And so I've taken a much more personable and relatable approach to technology. I'll sit and talk with folks and kind of find out a little bit more about them and let them find out a little bit more about us. And you'd be surprised the effect that has on interaction going forward. And especially where projects, large scale, company-wide projects are concerned, and its success for the institutional organization. So debunking the myth of we could get it done with the flip of a switch, how do you do that? Well, you got to bring people along for the journey, show them the timelines and the Gantt charts of what a project completion looks like, and the man hours that goes into it. There's a level of appreciation that the people are able to bring to the table when they understand the process that was required in order for a given product to be produced. So that's, you know, those are some of the things that I've done over the course of my career, I think, that have been successful in helping to debunk those myths and to kind of integrate IT more into the mainstream of what is happening at a company and get people to realize that we can be a strategic partner, not just, you know, an operational entity or at worst, a cost center, a necessary evil, if you will. So, yeah.
What's the, in talking to emerging leaders, what are some of the ways where you've experienced your position of being relatable, not just being good, not just being knowledgeable about your job and good with tech, but this relatable aspect of leadership? How has that assisted you as you moved from NGO to HBCU, now to working at a community college, and maybe even some of the other places where you've worked? But how has just that one aspect of your professionalism being relatable kind of opened up doors, opportunities for you, or even helped you with some conflict resolution?
Yeah. Getting to know people, taking a few extra minutes when I'm interacting with somebody to find out a little bit about something that they do, it always comes back later to pay off. Being able to, you know an understanding and knowing that a certain person has an autistic kid, and man, sometimes coming to work is like an escape for them. You know what I mean? And how that has impact on their work and, you know, the type of attitude that they might walk in the door with on a day-to-day basis. In some work environments, you never get a chance to, or you never take the time to get to know people at that level. And people are people. One of the things I've recognized, whether they're the janitor or the CEO, you get to know people, you get to see certain common characteristics, you get to see things that you resonate with, you know, commonalities, things that you know you share in common, and you can kind of have a running joke with that person every now and again when you see them or when you interact with them, especially from a professional standpoint. I mean, say you're paired up with some folks to deliver a certain project. Being relatable, being a person who takes the time to get to know folks above and beyond what they can do for me in terms of whatever it is I'm looking to get done, just getting to know them as a person and treating them like a human being, you know, family time and, you know, kids, spouse, travel, different interests. You know, I collect different currency. I found that to be a great conversation starter. I actually also do a thing where I take selfies with people that I, you know, count to have had significant impact on my life. I take selfies with them and then I put them up in my office. So it's not uncommon to find people just kind of standing in my office looking at these pictures because every last one of them are a story in and of themselves. And people resonate with those things. People, you know, it gives them a chance to see a different side of you that they wouldn't otherwise have seen or even been able to know. And it you'd be surprised what it gives me license to do. And I don't take advantage of this. I take it as a high responsibility. Mm-hmm. But with being relatable, I can make a mistake, an honest mistake, and be able to own up to that mistake and take responsibility for that mistake. And people give me a pass because they know that I'm a real person. I'm not perfect. I don't profess to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But being relatable gives you the opportunity to do that. Whereas when you put yourself in a position of being higher than, and it's like, well, I'm at this level and you're not at this level. You know, my opinion weighs this much and your opinion doesn't. When I'm running a project and the quote unquote least of these recognizes that their input can literally sway the course of the given outcome, it has huge meaning, and it has huge impact on what they bring to the table. Their willingness to engage, their willingness to go above and beyond, to really think outside of the box and to be innovative and to really collaborate across different departmental units and functional groups to be able to deliver something that we would not otherwise be able to deliver. People are the sum total of their experiences, right? I mean, so you are, I am the child of Jamaican immigrants that came to this country. I mean, that they envisioned a life for me that was the impetus for them making that trip, making that transition, major transition in their lives. And that is a part of who I am. And understanding all of those pieces can help you to really put together a team that's able to overcome any obstacle. And being able to do that is transformational. I mean, that is what, in my opinion, leadership is all about. Finding everybody's different. You know, it's a patchwork. But all of those are different flavors in the meal. I mean, they all serve to come together to make a beautiful experience for your customers, your clients, or whoever it is you're serving. And so if any one of them is not present or has been relegated to the corner and is not feeling like they can actually contribute to the end product, I don't think you're actually getting the full, you know, you're giving the full experience of what you can actually bring to the table. Those are obviously not IT related viewpoints or stands that I've held. These are largely just leadership skills that I've learned and I've honed over the years. I've had the benefit of having people who believed in me heavily and gave me opportunity to take on leadership at even a younger age than I am now. I don't count myself to be old. funny thing. I was at a conference last week outside of the country, and one of the guys was like, "How old are you?" Because as we kept on talking, and he realized I had lived in Africa, that I'd done a couple of different things. And he was just like, "What in the world? How old are you? I thought you had just finished college." So he's like, he's thinking 21, 22. I told him 39. He's like, "Oh, okay." And even still, he was still shocked at the breadth of experience. But look, man, when God opens some doors and you're just bold enough to believe that what he has called you to do, he will enable you to do and equip you to be successful at doing, that's the kind of life, you know, that you will end up leading. And that's my testimony. That's the story of Kirk Nugent.
yeah. Kirk, listen, before we end our conversation, I want to unpack that just a little bit more.
We're
finding a lot of people coming to the workplace, younger generations entering the workplace, and they have on their mind, "I don't just want a job. I want to work purposeful. I want to work within purpose. I want to work within my calling." And then you find some older individuals in the workforce who are pivoting along the same idea of purpose, of calling, of faith. How have you worked through those notions in your professional career, and why do you still use them as guiding principles?
What our hands have found to do. I mean, what we do as professionals, as a given vocation or career path, is by and large what we will be defined as or be remembered as. You will spend more time at work and with coworkers than you will with family, with friends, with church members. I mean, it is a large portion of our lives, and people are recognizing that fact, and they're saying, "I need this section of my life to be meaningful." And so I often challenge my student workers or people that I'm mentoring, you know, is there anything, you know, this is the question, is like, is there anything in the course of a week that you have given 100% of yourself to in order to complete? And if the answer is no, then I would say you are living under your purpose and calling. if what you are, you find yourself doing does not require you to think outside of what you're able to do, it's not requiring you to call on something greater, something bigger, kind of getting back to your question of how do I continue to integrate faith? If it's not calling you to look outside of yourself, then I think what you have, you're probably settling in some areas. You're probably not pushing yourself to your limits, doing your best work and you know, getting a chance to meet that version of yourself that is operating at 150%. Eric Thomas came to Oakwood. I hate to take aside a track, but I just feel like this thing is relevant. And he was he has this thing of, you know, working at 150%. And so one of the students says to him, you know, ET, I mean, what if you don't have 150%? I mean, what if you have an 80% kind of day? And I mean, you don't, you can't be at 150% all the time. And he said, he's like, the we come from people, right? As African Americans, we come from people who were slaves and had to operate at 100% at a base. In fact, our ancestors vacillated between 100 and 150%. Their worst day was 100% because they would be punished severely if they did any less than that. And so he's like, the reason why you are saying, what if I have an 85% day, is because you have that choice. You've chosen, you've given yourself an out to say, I can work at 80% today. I can do a 50% day. I can do a 20% day today because you have that choice. But if you were to require of yourself 110, 115, 100, push yourself to those limits and see who that person is, see who you are at that level, you will recognize that it takes more than what I have to give. And it will connect you to a higher power, a higher source. And for me, that is the man Jesus Christ, without doubt. I mean, that is my source of strength and energy and wisdom. And when I speak, when I work with my team, or when I go about a project, I am looking at it through the lens of, if I was giving this thing as my acceptable sacrifice to God, is it good enough? Have I given it my all, or have I settled for less? And so I hope that motivates someone out there. I mean, I get excited when I think about, you know, doing what God has called me to do, whether it be, you know, 10 more years here at Wallace State, or he's going to call me to do something else. Whatever that is, I get excited when I think about that, that this is not just a happenstance item. Work is a part of my life, and it's a part of who I am, and it's a part of what God is interested in for me. And because he's interested in it for me, he has a plan for it. It's not haphazard. It's not, you know, by the way, there's ordered steps and, you know, that is exciting to know that there's a God who is interested in us at that level. I know I went way beyond probably what you were looking for from that question, but that's my response.
No, I think it's good. And I think a lot of us, persons of faith who really wrestle with our faith and the places that we're called to live, work, and play. You know, sometimes there's questions on how to integrate that, how to live by those principles and not be overbearing. And then how to respond when we feel like, you know, God is nudging us as leaders and influencers to move on or do something else or re-examine what our calling looks like. So I really thank you for sharing that with us. How can we keep up with you, Kirk? Give us the social stuff, man. Side projects, whatever. I mean, there's so much we didn't get into, man. The whole film school. I mean, you're doing so much.
There's a lot, man. Yeah, I'm working on another degree, cinema, religion, and worldview at Walla Walla University. I am, I would call myself an emerging public speaker. I'm doing a lot of that recently, and I see that as a door that God is opening for myself. My website is kirknugent.me. That's where my webpage is. And on that site, you'll find three different areas of service: media consulting, public speaking, and CIO as a service, which is essentially technology leadership as a consultant. And all three of those are kind of clicking right now. There's a lot that God is opening up for those areas. My bio is on bio.kirknugent.me. So if anybody was, you know, kind of trying to check me out to see who's this guy, that's where my bio is. And my social media is on both of those pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Those are the spaces that I play in currently. And yeah, man, I would love to connect. If anybody's out there, is, you know, you're in the technology realm, or you're just in leadership, and you, something that I've said has kind of resonated and checked some boxes for you, please feel free to drop me a line, info@kirknugent.me. That's my email address. And for sure, I cannot end without giving a shout out to my boy, Pierre Quinn, and for this platform, this medium, and how he's using it to give unlikely leaders a platform to share. I mean, leaders who maybe didn't set out to be leaders, leaders who people are saying you're too young to be a leader, or you haven't had the experiences to be a leader just yet. Those, giving those leaders an opportunity to share. I love what you're doing with Leading While Green, and can't thank you enough for having me as a guest on the podcast.
Kirk, we're going to put that in the show notes so people can reach out to you. I don't know if they want to reach out to you with IT questions. You know, you might get some silly ones, but we're going to put all of your stuff in the show notes. We appreciate having you on, talking to us about your journey and what may be on the horizon for you. We're going to stay in contact with you. You got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's a lot, folks. So make sure to follow up with Kirk on social media. Check out his LinkedIn page and all of the things that he's involved in. Got some great stuff there. Thanks for taking a few moments with us, man. We know you're a busy guy, but we thank you for sharing with us and for the listening audience some lessons from your journey.
Thank you.
Good conversation today with Kirk Nugent. And I want you to keep up with Kirk and everything that he's doing. He's got a whole bunch on his plate, but he's managing it pretty well. So I'll put the links to connect with Kirk in the show notes. Be sure to check those out, and you can hit up Kirk with your questions, especially if you're an IT professional or you're interested in speaking about technology and playing around in that space. You want to be sure to reach out to Kirk. I want to encourage you. I know you didn't do it yet. I want to encourage you to hop over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and check out my leadership course. Check out prcquinn.com. Got some good stuff over there. You know, it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. So until next time, take care and God bless.